Hi, and welcome to Pathways, the podcast by Grenadian STEAM. This is the show where we chat with Grenadians and other West Indians pursuing careers in the STEAM fields to learn about the reasons they got into the industry, the struggles they have faced, and some tips and tricks they may have picked up along the way. I'm your host and president of Gren STEAM, Arlene Hayes. In this season, we are putting the focus on those who are doing it best right at home. Science, technology, engineering, architecture, and math exist all around us, even though we may not always realize it. And there are lots of openings for these skill sets to be used on the island. So join us as we talk about STEAM in Grenada and hear about some local businesses that you might want to get involved with and support. This episode is brought to you by Carabytes. Carabytes is a proud sponsor of Grenadian STEAM and is the best way to order delivery from your favorite restaurants in Antigua, Grenada, and St. Vincent. Whether you're too busy to cook or looking to surprise a loved one with food, you're destined to find the perfect choice from a vast selection of restaurants. Order today at www.carabytes.com. And specially for Pathways listeners, use the coupon STEAM on the checkout page to get a 25% discount on the delivery fee. That's www.carabytes.com. Use the coupon STEAM for 25% off your delivery fee today. Leroy Devon Charles is an international chef, born and raised on the sister isle of Carriacou, and owner of the local food spot Mr. Grill, located in his hometown. As a youth growing up, Leroy had a great passion for cooking, and at the age of 17, he started working and studying under well-developed chefs at local restaurants. From there, he was granted the opportunity to travel the world while cooking on cruise ships for a few years. By the grace of the Almighty, hard work, sacrifice, determination, and patience, Leroy was able to learn and accomplish everything he dreamt of as a young boy, and now has his sights set on expanding Mr. Grill to make it a more permanent food destination known for his signature blend of local and international flavors. I hope you enjoy today's chat, and if you do, be sure to head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a review or drop us a note on social media and let us know what you want to hear more of. Hi, Leroy, and welcome to Pathways.
Hi. Thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Oh, thank you for asking.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you on today. I kind of came across you through a friend and thought that your story was a really interesting one and would be able to share some of what you do with the rest of Grenada and Carriacou and PT Martinique.
Yeah, cool.
So to get us started, can you tell us a little bit about where you're from, what it is that you do right now, and just some back history on you growing up in Carriacou?
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm from Carriacou, born and raised, you know, and for the past few years. But as a little boy, as a little kid growing up, I always wanted to become a chef. You know, cooking was my dream. I always had a passion for cooking and stuff, you know. And
okay. And you went to school, primary school and secondary school?
Yeah, I went to primary school in Carriacou and also secondary school in Carriacou also.
So what kind of student were you like? Tell us a little bit about what your days in secondary school and primary school were like.
Okay. Well, everybody knows the typical. So normally in the lower grade, you'll be mischievous, right? But as faster you grow up in the higher grades, you get to realize and think different because of the maturity level. Yeah. You know, at the early stage of primary school, I always liked cooking, but I didn't really make up my mind if I want to become a chef or not. You know, it's after when I went into secondary school, like around form two, form three, at that point, that's when I really, you know, I really knew what I wanted to become. That's when I knew that, okay, you know, I had a passion for cooking.
Yeah. So what's the first experience with cooking that you could recall? Where did that love of cooking come from?
Okay. The first experience of cooking that I had. Okay, let me see. Oh, I remember I had once that the school had give half day. So I went home and I said I would have surprised my mom with some food. So that time I went home and I tried to cook a nice meal for my mom to surprise her when she came home. But it did not come out too well. You know, it did not come out too well at all. And then when my mom tasted it, she was like rather surprised. And she said, okay, son, I see that you really like the cooking. And she said to me, don't give up.
How old were you then?
At that time, I was like, I think like around at the age of 15, I think.
Okay. So she said, don't give up. And then
She said, yeah, I just continue. You know, sometimes I wake up early in the morning also, and I will try to make breakfast. And sometimes whatever mistake that I make the first time, this when I'm about to do it the second time, I try not to make that same mistake. So by them time there, I was keep on just improving.
And so what really got you into it? Did your mom cook a lot, or did you see other people around you cooking, or what made you interested in trying yourself?
Okay, be honest, it's like, it's from something that passed on, is within me there, because my dad also, his twin brother, even his mom was a chef also in the olives, you know, so that I feel like I just kind of like inherit that from them, you know, because all of a sudden I just start to have the passion for cooking. So I get that from my dad, my family.
Okay. That side. So it's in your genes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's in my gene.
Nice. So when did you said that you weren't really taking it seriously in the beginning. When did you really decide that this is what you want to do and you want to pursue a career as a chef?
When I was like in form three. Because normally when you're in form three, you know, you have all these type of subjects, like, so let me do like, somebody had like 14 subjects doing, mm-hmm. you know, in form three. So at that time when they used to have like little practicals and stuff, I find out to myself that I used to do more good in the food field. You know, I used to pay more attention in the food field at that time.
Yeah. So what subjects did you take for CXC?
What subject did I do it? Like take the CXC passes?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, definitely. Well, I had food, you know, food and nutrition. Then I had, I had English, I had social studies. I had electronic document preparation and management, that's EDPM. I had and building technology and technical drawing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it looked like you had a little bit of interest with maybe architecture on the side there too.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a little interest in that, but my main interest was in the food part. I like my belly also.
Yeah. Who doesn't, right?
Yeah.
So when you then graduated and so on, what was your next step? Did you even know how you were going to go about becoming a chef?
Okay, be honest, when I graduated, right, I had big dreams to go, like to immediately go to college and stuff to further my culinary arts. But at that time, I was not, say, like the financially part to go to school. So what I did, I sent up some of my application to different hotels and stuff, you know, I was asking for a chef job, you know, but at the time the chef job means that has a big responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, well, I got a job in a local place I call Porto Lorena, you know, and at that time they did not have a space for a chef or a cook. So what they did, they gave me the job as a yard boy. you know. And when I got the job, normally when I like when I go to work for like around like 6 in the morning, 6 to 3, sometimes like when I have to leave 3 o'clock, I will check out, but still I will go in the kitchen and learn what the chef is doing. You know, I will observe and he will teach me a lot of things. And numerous days by days by days, I was continue doing that one. You know, my chef, his name was Spurgeon Reese, he was from Jamaica. And until one day now, what happened, he fell sick. And then I was the only person that used to be in the kitchen that often, that knows the recipe and stuff that he make every day. My boss lady, which is, she name was Lorena, she gave me the opportunity and she gave me time, you know, just to prove myself. And since from that time, I took full advantage of the opportunity and I did my best, you know. I just blanked everything out and it was like, you know, I was preaching myself that my boss was there. And I did extremely well,
wow.
You know. And then afterwards, I got some nice comments from the guests that ate the food. And they were asking, like, who is the one that cooked the food? And I was thinking it was the Jamaican chef, but it was me. You know, so at that time I felt really good, you know. And then what happened, my boss now, that's Lorena, she ended up putting us on a shift. So sometimes he will come in on the morning and I will come in on the evening. So right away now, it's like I get the promotion then. I don't know, I'm working the yard anymore.
Yeah.
I'm working in the kitchen now.
So all that time that you were working when the Jamaican chef was sick and you were taking up his job, you were doing that by yourself or you had a team of people or?
Yeah, no, I was doing that by myself with a little help. I had someone just helping me, assisting me, like cutting the vegetable and cutting this and stuff.
Wow. So all of that, you learned the menus and like the progress.
Yes, under him.
How to cook just from watching him.
Yes, watching and observing.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
So how long did you work there and then what happened next?
Okay. I worked at the Hotel Lorena for at least like 2.5 years. And at a point in time, I felt like I wanted more because I at that time I met at a certain level that, you know, I was able to master the basics. So I want to learn more. I want to go and learn different menu. So what happened now, I had sent in to resign that. I send it in, and after I applied through the next hotel that's in Karaoke, which is name of Grand View Inn Hotel, I went up there, and I did extremely well up there also. You know, I spent like almost two and a half years there also. Then I wanted more. I always was always saying I want more. Want to experience more. Then I have applied to a place called Petit St. Vincent. That's PSV. You know, then I went up to PSV and I spent like almost three to four years up there, you know, PD St. Vincent, as a chef. But first, when I went there, that is a 5-star resort. So that means the food has to be on point.
Right.
So at that time, when I went there, I did not get accepted immediately to go to the kitchen as a chef. I had also do training first, like practical. You know, so I went on, they gave me my tasks, what they want me to do and how they want it to be done. And I follow it. And at the end, the end up, my score was 100 out of 100, you know?
Yeah.
So I got everything correct. Then the following 2-3 days, they say, okay, they will get back to me if I get the job or not. Then when they get back to me, they say, okay, you're officially, you can come and work as a chef. You know, so I took it from there. Then I have my boss, he was an Indonesian. So I learned lots of things under him, you know. And he always used to say to me, Leroy, here is not for you. The type of potential that they have and the skill that they have, you know, and the passion that they have right now, that's what I see from you. You need to do something bigger. You know, you say, why don't you, like, you move on or do something, like, you can be recognized for what you are doing. So I say, okay, no problem. So he had one time that I say, you know what, I will apply for the cruise industry. Because I always wanted to work on a cruise also, you know?
Right.
I said I would apply for the cruise industry. Then I applied and I was able to get through. Then after I left PT St. Vincent and I end up on the cruise ship. When I went to the cruise ship, first it was like I had to start all over again.
How so?
So when I went there, yeah, because normally if you say when you're going on a cruise line, sometimes you might apply as a cook. But when you go there now, yes, they will accept you as a cook. But when you go, you're not going as a cook directly. You have to go on an assistant. So you have to have them in the kitchen. You come like a helper, you know? So no matter how much experience that you have, that's the available spot that you have right now. So you have to take it. You have no chance. You have no choice.
Yeah.
So what I did, I took it. And when I went there, for about a week, I observed and I tried to adopt them. Mm-hmm. And then as days goes by, I saw there was so many things that need to be done. What I know I accustomed doing, but the people who was in that position, they was not doing it. So I was saying to myself, you know what? I see this as an opportunity now to grab it. So now I blank everything out and I just start doing my work. I never used to worry about time. You know, sometimes I used to just get a little break, just go this, take a little eat, have a glass of a drink of water and come back. You know, and within the past 2 years, I was able to get promotion, you know, back-to-back promotion from an assistant cook to a supervisor.
Wow.
You know? Yeah. And then now I start, at that time when I made the supervisor level, I was seeing things different. You know, I was doing things different. I was able to get the opportunity to work alongside like bigger bosses. And I learned a lot up to this day. Then,
Well, going back a little bit. So when you were back at in Karaku at the hotel and you did your training under the Indonesian chef,
yeah.
was that a difficult set of training or was it just kind of...
That was in PSV and mm-hmm. the Indonesian chef. Be honest, it was difficult at the beginning because, you know, it's a different culture and it's doing a different thing. So obviously I would not get it at the same time. You know, I will take a little bit of time before I understand him also and how he's doing his item. Like example, like the way he was using his knife to cut items, I was using it the opposite way, you know, but the right way was the way he doing it. That was a professional way. So even that, it took me some time before I get it right. I had little cuts, I get little burn, but all of this was in the learning process there.
Yeah. So what other kind of skills did you learn during that training? Did you actually have to prepare meals or was it more about the
technique? Yeah. Well, at that time, after the assignment, to the breakfast. And normally, the first thing they would assign it to the breakfast. So they had assigned me to the breakfast all by myself, alone, you know, they were doing different type of omelets and all these kind of things, you know. And then for about 2 to 3 weeks, almost a whole month, I have mastered that then, you know. So then after that, like the month or so, they remove me from the breakfast and they skip the lunch and they put me into the dinner.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And the dinner now inquire more patience and more focus.
Right.
And I was able to overcome it.
Okay. So yeah. Then when you then transition over to working on a cruise ship, how different was the training there? Was it like another level or was it just reinforcing?
Yeah, it was completely different. You know, in terms of the rules also, the, you know, the standard, you know, the equipment, plus the different language of people, the way they speak, you know, the way they do the things in the kitchen, the pots, the stove, everything was completely different.
Yeah. So you just had to kind of throw out the window everything you learned before, or were you able to build upon it?
No. What happened, what I have learned before, as they say, you know, you just keep quiet. And, you know, you keep quiet and you observe, you learn. So that's what I did. Include those things that I have learned before. Now I'm in a new place. I use that also. So I put with whatever I've learned and whatever I'm learning now.
Yeah, and it sounds like that's where you were able to kind of fill in the gaps with, you know.
Yes, definitely. I was able to fill in a gap right there.
Nice.
That's why they say it's a good thing that I had that experience before.
Right.
Probably if I did not have that experience, I don't know if I could have made it or not.
Were there others working alongside you who were kind of just getting into it? They hadn't had that experience before?
Yeah. I had several people because it's a whole different nationality that is all working there together. And he had people who never have so much experience before, but here for the first time, some of them did not even last a two cruise. They resigned.
Yeah.
Because of the work and the dedication that they have to do. They did not mentally make up their mind for that.
So how long did you work on the cruise ships and what do you think, what was something unique that you think you learned while working out there?
Okay, I worked there for the past, I think, 5 to 6 years.
Wow.
I've been on a cruise ship, mm-hmm. you know, include so
you've seen the world.
Yeah, I've traveled, I will say the whole wide world, but I've seen the world. I've seen lots of different things. Different type of cuisine, mm-hmm. you know, different nationality of food also, all these kind of things that I've learned also. You know, I even pushed myself to learn fruit carving.
What's that?
You know, fruit carving, you know, the carving of fruits and stuff, melon, you know, cantaloupe, oranges, you know, these kind of things. So yeah. I was able to learn this type of things outside also, fruit carving.
And when you were learning that, did they offer different courses or so on the cruise ship, or did you just learn from watching other people?
No. I look at other people also, I ask them for their assistance to teach me, you know?
Yeah.
And at that time, no, there was even, they had courses also on the ship.
Yeah.
You know? Like, at first as you grow, and whenever someone see the good in you,
mm-hmm.
they might select you to do certain course. Like me, before I turned supervisor, they had select me to go and do like my management training.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get your certificate for managing, all these kind of things. And I did it. You know, they select me, I did all my trainings, and I got all my certificates.
Wow. Definitely sounds like you had your mindset to what you wanted to do, and
definitely. I had a mindset because my motto and my plan was to go out there and learn much as I can,
right?
You know, and whatever opportunity that was there for me to grab on, I will grab it with full force. That's what I went out there to do.
Nice.
And I took total full advantage of it. I wanted to be like a role model, you know, for my island, you know.
Yeah.
You know, someone my family and my friends can look up to, because them knowing me from a kid, you know, some of them may not really know what I really wanted to become, but what they have seen now, what I have become, you know, is like a wow to them. No, they did not expect that from Leroy, because knowing the type of person, the way Leroy was, troublesome, all this kind of thing, they did not know Leroy wanted to become a chef.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, so, it's not a typical career path either. So that's great that you were able to really stick to it.
Yeah. Because normally in the village and stuff, right, where I grew up, right,
mm-hmm.
it's, how can I say it? You know, my friends there, you know the typical young fellas these days, right?
Yeah.
With the peer pressure, what does happen when the peer pressure? But me, I try to, although yes, I was influenced by this kind of thing, but I try to keep focus, yeah, because I know what I wanted,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I had made up my mind, even if I have to climb the highest mountain or jump the biggest cliff to become that person that I want to become. I make my mind to it, then I will do it. Even if that's the last thing, that's it, I will do it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. All right, so all this experience that you've had, you've worked in different restaurants, on cruise ships, and right now you are the owner of, is it a food truck in Caracas?
Yeah, I have, it's like a mini food truck. That one is like I can say, it's in a yard, but like very close to the road then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, the name of it is Mr. Grill.
Mr. Grill. So
yes, I'm the founder owner of Mr. Grill.
How did Mr. Grill come about? What happened between cruise ship time and starting Mr. Grill?
Okay. What happened when the pandemic had started, right? I was across there and I was like, you know, thinking and saying, what should I do when I go home, you know? Because I don't want to go home and sit down because I don't want to go and work for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking, no, I said, when I go home, I want to bring back something to my people then. You know, bring back some kind of flavor and taste to my people. So at the time, I was thinking, what name should I do? What name should I put for the if I want to start the business?
Mm-hmm.
Then at a point in time, I said, I will just go home and chill. But when I did come home, I was passing and he had this abandoned place, you know, like a shop that is abandoned on the side of the road.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, I looked at it. I spoke to my wife. I said, wife, what do you think I should do? You know, you think I should start something? Or she said, it's up to you, no problem. I'm behind you 100%. Then I went to my mom. I said, Mom, I want to start something. She said, my mom said, okay, well, just give it Mr. Grill. She said, what you want to do? I said, well, I want to do like different grill items. And I said, okay, give it Mr. Grill. You know, just a little talk, you know?
Yeah.
Then when I came back, I said to my wife, I said, wife, you know what? I will start something. It's okay, no problem, go ahead. So then I came together. I had some menus that I had for myself before. Mm-hmm. And I took out some of the items and I put it together. I said, you know what? I will introduce this here, I'll bring this here. You know, so then like the wings and stuff. I said, I wanna do some nice wings and stuff. She said, okay, no problem. Then I talked to the landlord, the owner of the place. Then I fixed it up to how I want it, you know. Then after, I got it registered with the name Mr. Grill. So that's how you all started.
So is it a truck or a building?
It's like a mini building.
Okay.
It's like a takeaway. Yeah. It's similar to the small food truck.
Yeah.
You know, but it'll sit down like a mini building. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And like example, like the food and thing that I do then, all right. I do like normally honey barbecue wings. Mm-hmm. I do sweet and sour. I do hot and spicy. I do buffalo hot. I do buffalo normal. Also, I do mayo chicken. Also, now and then I will do like a little bit of grilled fish. I have stew fish. You can also get your fish in a different sauce, the different sauces.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I do things like fish salad, I do chicken salad, I do lamb salad, I do like chicken wraps, fish wrap, lamb wraps, you know. And normally sometimes on the weekends,
uh-huh,
like Friday, I will do like strictly grill, you know. So on the grill now, like something typical example, what I have on the grills on Friday, I have like barbecue lobster with barbecue sauce. I will have grilled lobster with garlic and butter and white wine sauce. We'll go with that one. Also, sometimes I have like grilled pork. I have barbecue pork sometimes on the grill. You know, even the chicken. Also, I have barbecue lambie. You know, also sometimes I have like some grilled potato with some garlic and butter sauce with a little bit of cheese inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I even have like stuffed potato. I put that one on the grill also. I have jacket potato also sometimes on the grill. A little bit of garlic bread also I have there, you know.
Well, you're hungry
even
now.
Vegetable also. Yeah. And you know what I normally do also. So sometimes I try to be flexible.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes, most time, people will come in and they will look at the way I do my food, the way I take my time, and you know, I plate my food and stuff, and they will ask me, "Are you from here?" And I will, you know, right away conversation will start. I will say, "Why you ask that?" No, the reason why, the way you do your plating, the way you do everything, your body posture, everything is just so different.
Yeah.
You know, and we will start to talk from there. You know, sometimes I get them, I come like, I'm looking for a specific dish. I say, no problem. What dish you want? And I say, okay, you can tell me and I can arrange it for you. You know, even also most people sometimes will like go on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And they will get some like nice salad and they will just send the recipe to me and say, "Lira, you know what? I want this for tomorrow." I will say, "Okay, no problem." Because this is the type of things I'm accustomed with. All this international food, this is what I'm accustomed with.
Yeah.
You know? So even sell, yes, the local with the rice and peas and all these kind of things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I cannot stray from that. Yeah.
So, I was actually going to ask you that. So although you have like all the local like regular barbecue and so, did you incorporate any of the international flavors that you learned?
Yeah, that from since I started, all I keep doing is was bringing more the international flavors, you know, because they have the local, they have my fellow companions, like locals also, they're doing the barbecue, you know, but me now, when I do mine, I intend to make the flavor different. Yes. You know, you should get a nice formula, a nice flavor, different flavor when it tastes my own. You understand?
So what's an example of maybe one or two flavors you have that are not normal?
Okay, like example, right? The way that I do even in my chicken.
Yeah.
The way that I do my honey barbecue chicken and stuff. You know, the flavors is different because, you know, all chefs have a secret recipe, right?
Right.
You know, and all chefs have a specific taste. And if you like something, obviously you'll get a perfect taste and a perfect result in what you do. Mm-hmm. Like example, when I make my sauce, you know, if you go on the internet and you see how a honey barbecue sauce is made, you know, but me personally, I will add my own personal flavors to it to enhance it more. You know, so sometimes when it tastes the honey barbecue, it's like, wow, what you put in it?
Mm-hmm.
How did they get it to come like this, you know?
Yeah.
And I would just say, you know, it's just a secret recipe. So then I would say to my friends, you know what I did? That one is just a little bit of love on the inside. So that's what it tastes like, love. Yeah.
Yeah, man, you can't share them secrets there.
No, not at all.
All right. So when did you officially start the grill?
My business?
Yeah.
I started it like I think September. Yeah, I think I started in September.
So not too long at all.
Not too long ago.
So what's the experience been so far? It sounds like people really like it. Are there many others like you around the area?
Now you have people, you know. We have a certain thing in our local culture, right? You know, sometimes you will start something and, you know, some people will want to try it also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I in this business now, when you see you start something and you start with a certain taste, it's always a good thing to have proper consistency.
Yeah.
You know, once you have proper consistency, you know, your people will keep coming on and you will keep getting different types of people. People will be recommending you, okay? Mm-hmm. Because they know that whenever they go for a specific chicken, like they go for the honey barbecue fried chicken, when they go there, they know, okay, if they go there the first and the second, then they will still get the taste.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, you know, you're going there, you're getting a different taste. They want to go tomorrow, you're getting a different taste. No. Consistency. And consistency will bring like food business and a long way. So that's what I try to maintain. Consistency.
Yeah, that's really important. I haven't been back to Karaku in a while, but I know where I go in for my first lunch next time I reach.
You know, yeah, consistency. And always try to, I play a key aspect in my ingredients.
Yeah.
You know, to me, if something don't look good for me, it don't look good for you. If something don't taste good for me, it don't taste good for you. Yeah. That's how I see. You know, and presentation also, some people always say the first appearance give the last impression, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when I'm doing something also, the way it look, as again, when you see it the first time and you look so good, you should say, wow. Yeah, because obviously sometimes you make something for someone and it don't look good. Obviously, they will think also it don't taste good.
Right.
Yeah.
First impression is so important.
Yeah, of course. Definitely, it is. It is. You know, and for the past few times, I have dealt with so many people, you know, or even when, like, international people come here, like certain artists, you know, all of them will come to Mr. Grill, you know, because Mr. Grill flavor, you know, it just,
yeah,
perfect taste. Perfect, yeah, I'm telling you, perfect taste.
Nice, nice. So what is it about cooking that you would say is like, would you call it a science? Is it something, is it a skill to kind of like understand how to mix the flavors and blend them together? Is that something that you learn or you just figure
out? I'll be honest, right?
Yeah.
It's in me. You know, it's in me. Some people can learn, they can learn cooking.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a passion for something, you will teach it because different things will come to your mind. You will see things different. You know, your mind will make up different tastes, you know, different style, different settings. It's in you. So it's like, they cannot take it away from you.
Yeah.
You feel me? Yeah, yeah. I feel that's inside of me right now so much that sometimes like I'll be cooking something and I will get a flavor and I will be like, oh, I can add this to get a different taste, make it taste, you know, it's the same, but they should get a nice sparkling something at the end, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is things that I always do.
Yeah,
so it's inside of me. It's inside. Naturally, it's inside.
Natural talent.
Sometimes my friends say to me, Leroy, what you make this? What you do? What you do to make it come like that? You know, even also sometimes when I have my barbecue, when I close my shop, I will stay, you know, and I will try to like maybe carve out a few potatoes in some nice, maybe like animals.
Yeah.
You know? And sometimes my friends will say to me, where did they get the time to do this? When did they do this? See, when I finish work, I do it. You say, you don't feel tired. I say, madam, or sir, when you see you love something, you don't have anything but tired. Yeah, you don't feel tired at all. It's like, you love it so much. When you finish, you will sleep. But while you're doing it, you like it so much that you don't feel anyway.
The energy just have you going.
Yeah, the energy just have you going. Because sometimes the more you do something in that time, you make something different, you want to make a different item also. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it just go on and on and on and on.
Yeah, yeah. Ideas.
So that's my part there.
So you think Mr. Grill would ever become a bigger restaurant or a chain, maybe open one in Grenada?
Be honest, you.
Yeah.
But I have big plans also. All of the say don't go to plans. You just need to just walk along and just make things happen. Yeah. You know, the Mr. Grill, now I want to make it more big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the things, you have certain things that I want to introduce also, but not right now. Maybe in the near future, you know.
Yeah.
But probably when I make something like have a bigger place, you know, I can implement some new things, you know, to make it like, you know, probably make a bigger brand someplace, you know.
Yeah.
So I can be recognized for my flavors also. So I want to make it more big, and I would make it more big sometime to come.
Okay.
I would. Yeah, I want to, like, you know, she able to have like a nice building. So, you know, people from here and over there, from everywhere, you know, when they come now, they should like have this, see my big logo, Mr. Grill, you know, able to come to my place, nice big place, sit down, you know, have a nice meal, you know, all this kind of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Also certain things like I want to like also implement is like I'm working as like an ITAL.
Yeah.
I want to cater for the ITAL. Yes, you know, give them various choices. You know, because at my shop now I have various choices, you know. In my chicken and stuff, also my fish.
Mm-hmm.
Although the plate itself is small, but the big things are coming out from behind that small place.
Yeah.
Big things coming out from behind that small place.
Of course. So how do people find Mr. Grill? You have a number, you have a website, a Facebook?
Well, normally I have a number for Mr. Grill. You know, normally like the number is like normally like 1-1473-420-7530. And sometimes like on the for the email address now is like LeroyCharles1234@hotmail.com. You know, and normally I'm on Facebook now. My Facebook normally is like Leroy Thomas. Leroy Thomas or Devon Thomas, you can get me on each one of them.
All right. Well, I mean, I feel like you had to open up a page for Mr. Grill.
Huh? Yeah, well, all of that is in the making.
Okay. All right.
Yes. All of that is in the making. I'm going to do that too. Also.
Okay. I hear you. Yeah. So it's you alone at the grill, or you have any people?
No. Well, I have my, normally my wife will be there sometimes. But right now, I have a little cousin, which his name is Nylon Matterson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm training him now.
Nice.
You know, in the near future also, you want to go to school, but I'm training him, like some of the items that I'm doing there.
Yeah.
I'm training him.
So he want to be
even a my, chef? Want to be a chef. Also, even my wife also. You know, although my wife, she's studying to become a nurse right now, but still, sometimes she in the heat also, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I will teach she a one or two.
Yeah, make it you a know? Business.
Yeah, even my little sister also, you know. I try to get them to teach as much, you know. Even my little cousin, I have little cousin also. I also never bring them another just to teach them because all of them is looking up to me like as a role model.
Yeah,
you know. So yeah, so I teach them. I teach them with an honest heart.
Yeah, you can't keep the knowledge to yourself, you know, you gotta spread it around.
Of course. I'm sharing the love.
Yes.
I'm sharing it.
All right. So Leroy, what advice would you give to, you know, your little nephew, your sister, younger people coming up who might be interested in following that path, but either, you know, they're feeling that peer pressure to do something else, or maybe they just don't even know what steps to take. What advice do you have for them?
Okay, my advice to them is that in life, nothing comes easy, right? You will have lots of obstacles in your way. Sometimes there'll be times that they want to give up so bad. You don't have anyone to talk to. You don't have anybody to turn to. You know, all you have to do is just keep the faith. If you want to become something, don't give up. No matter what happened, no matter how bad your life is going, no matter how the pressure is on you. Once you want to become that person, go towards it. Don't give up. You're going to be rugged. You're going to be tough. But you have to keep the faith. You know, keep the faith. And always believe in the Almighty and pray. Because once the Almighty see that you're willing, you know, and you have the great ambition to become that, He will help you also. You know, so you keep the faith, you pray to the God, you know, you ask him to hold you back, and everything going to be possible. Everything going to be possible. Yes.
All right.
Always keep Almighty close to you, and everything gonna be possible. Everything.
Well said.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Leroy, I can't thank you enough. I'm so glad we were able to have this talk today, and I can't wait for everyone else to hear about your journey and Mr. Grill, and you know, I hope that the support just keeps going. I want to see.
Okay, cool. Cool, cool.
All right. So thanks again. And to the listeners, thank you for joining us on today's Pathway.
Wow.